It has been said that one of the mistakes that the early Christians made was that of turning Jesus into a religion. One of the early mistakes the Christians made was turning Jesus into a religion. Religion can mean a lot of different things in our lives. If I were to ask you what's that word religion mean, there could be lots of descriptions. It could be it describes the tradition in which I've grown up and learned about God. It could be a way of describing one's spiritual journey or spiritual life. The word religion has a lot of meanings to it. But there's one particular meaning that I think that phrase gets to, about maybe one of the mistakes the early Christians made was turning Jesus into a religion. And whether that phrase speaks to you or not, I want to share a few thoughts on that this morning as we gather together. Back when I went to college, in a previous century, in the early 1970s, actually, I went to an interesting kind of college. It was called Cathedral College, and in the tradition I'd grown up in, it was a college seminary. In other words, it was a college, a course of studies in college, for those who were thinking about going to seminary to study for the priesthood. So these kind of schools I don't think even exist anymore. But when I was in college in the early 1970s, it was a place I went to, and it was in the New York area. One of the requirements before going into seminary was to study philosophy for a few years. The idea was to study philosophy, to study the way that humanity has thought, how humanity has perceived the world, how through the ages we've looked at things. And so every semester we had to take a course in philosophy, ancient philosophy, Greek philosophy, medieval philosophy, European philosophy, existential phenomenology. That was always one of my favorites. Just the title was kind of catchy. But for some, many of the students I was with majored in philosophy. They only had to take like two more courses and they had their major. But I chose to not major in philosophy and looked for something else. And I was going back and forth between psychology and sociology. And I decided to major in sociology. In some ways, I really majored in Dr. Barry Pearson, who was one of the professors in the sociology department, which is so often true in our lives. If there's someone who kind of generates excitement about something, you tend to be drawn to them. So a lot of my courses were actually with Dr. Barry Pearson. Still remember that, his name. One semester I took two courses in sociology. One was called The Sociology of Religion. The other was called Race and Minorities. Interesting, even that title, Race and Minorities, is so kind of a phrase from the 1970s. But it was a study of race and minorities in our world, particularly in our country, and also in the sociology of religion, studying religious traditions. And one of the great things I did that semester, I thought this was pretty ingenious. I had to write a term paper for both courses. And so I went to each professor and I said, could I write one paper? And I wrote a paper on Hasidic Judaism, the Hasidic Jewish tradition, which was a religion, sociology of religion, and also considered in our culture anyway a somewhat of a minority. And although where I went to school, I was in Queens, New York, about a half hour east of LaGuardia Airport, if you know that area, where I went to college. The Brooklyn area had a large Hasidic Jewish population, as well as Rockland County, north of the city. But I did one paper, and people at the earlier service were asking me what grade I got on both papers. I don't remember that, but I remember really getting intense into this study for these two courses. That's just an aside. But in the sociology of religion, one of the interesting things we looked at was how this sense of religion has been a part of humanity as far back as we can go. You know, in the evolutionary process, we identify what we know as some shape or form of humanity. We find this search beyond, this search and wonder of the world beyond, and the development of symbols and signs and paintings and drawings and totems this sense that there are these gods out there. Look at the sun, the moon. Look at the earth. look at just the all that's around them, and they created symbols. What's also interesting is that oftentimes people, a group, a tribe, or a clan would kind of honor their understanding of their God and create these symbols that they would carry around with them. And they gave them their identity. And in some ways, God help the tribe or clan on the other side of the mountain, that tried to come into our valley, our side of the mountain, to eat our food or use our fields. We would attack them. We would protect ourselves. And they would carry all these religious symbols with them. They'd carry their totem into battle against them. And this idea that, my God will beat your God, or my God's stronger than your God. I mean, it's also part of the early culture, which is kind of interesting to track and trace. And so it seems so early on, religion also played this role in a society of offering order, offering a certain expected way that we would behave. And so that kind of religious tradition was something that was valued by the society. And of course, sometimes the religious tradition also valued the society that offered them protection to live out their faith. So we find that even from early, early, early times. And when you think about it throughout history, so many religious traditions, this is an experience. Look at the Jewish tradition. The Jewish tradition, starts out and it eventually becomes this monarchy, this great kingdom. That's what our first reading today from Samuel is talking a little bit about. It's talking about King David. We're hearing the story of David falling in love with this Bathsheba, and in last week's reading, he sends Bathsheba's husband into battle to be killed so that David can take Bathsheba as his own wife. And just a terrible story. You sit there going, what? These are people of God, but it's showing their incredible humanity and their own kind of sinfulness. Eventually, the kingdom, the great kingdom, does collapse. And what oftentimes happens is when the kingdom began, so often the Jewish people couldn't hear God too much anymore because they had become powerful. They had stepped into a new experience. And when that happens, you begin to maybe close your ears a little bit to what your religious tradition maybe is really about, and you kind of give up a little bit sometimes. If you go forward with Christianity, you notice in around the year 313, Constantine comes along, the emperor. And he's very taken with this Jesus. Now remember, Jesus was someone who came from a religious tradition. Jesus is someone who came from the culture of his time. But what's unique about Jesus is, I would suggest to you, is that he creates this whole different understanding. Jesus' ministry is about change. It's about transformation. It's about healing. It's about forgiveness. It's about reaching beyond our tribes and clans. It brings about a whole new understanding. And you could suggest that the message of Jesus did not rest well with the religious tradition of his time because it was breaking down barriers, nor did it really coexist with the society of that time. Jesus was breaking down barriers. Jesus was eating meals with people with whom you weren't supposed to have meals. Some have suggested that the reason Jesus was crucified is because of the people he ate with. Kind of a catchy phrase. But Jesus broke down barriers. Jesus didn't see religion as a tribe or a clan on this side of the mountain, and God helped the people on the other side of the mountain. Jesus was someone who wanted to reach out to that other side of the mountain and bring people together. And there were followers of Jesus who very much heard that message. But the culture of that time could not handle that. And so, we don't want to hear it. Jesus is pushed to the side. Jesus is crucified and out of sight. But the followers of Jesus, those early followers of Jesus, caught that message, caught that sense of God present among us, and began to walk this journey together. And they began to be oppressed as well, in danger of their lives. Until about 313, I think it is, when Constantine, the Roman emperor, becomes Christian and makes Christianity the religion of the empire. And all of a sudden you have this experience of an oppressed people in the catacombs, now standing with royalty in the basilicas, kind of living a whole different experience. And I think that point of that phrase that someone suggested, that the big mistake was turning Jesus into a religion, is kind of making reference to that. When they got to that time of power, it's very difficult to hear the total message of Jesus. Yeah, Jesus preached about the Beatitudes, but we can work with that a little bit. We can change that a little bit. It suggested that experience of a religious tradition and a society living together in the Christian tradition is known as Christendom. Christendom. Since that time of the Emperor Constantine, we've lived in what was referred to as the era of Christendom. But some are suggesting that we no longer live in that kind of a world. That's beginning to change, or it has changed. We live in a post-Christendom time. Christianity was in many ways the religion of Europe, if you look at history, always resisting other religions. Even in our own country, whatever your politics are, I'm not delving into that today, you hear our politicians arguing about America being a Christian nation. It comes from this sense that something's changing from what was perceived in the past. So we live in this different time, it's suggested. And I believe, even though people are saying this is the end of Christendom, I think it's the beginning of some new possibilities. New possibilities. Perhaps we can begin to hear Jesus again, as those early Christians did, and proclaim that message of transformation, of change, of inclusiveness, of breaking down barriers, of creating this vision of a world that's been created by God. I think it's a time for new possibilities. Many today will write and say that the church is in decline. Attendance is down. The mainline churches are declining. And yet, I know our experience here at St. Paul's is a little bit different. Our experience is increasing numbers of people coming here, attendance increasing, our programs increasing. For instance, our children's ministry, we've already run out of classrooms. We're looking for new classrooms. If you know the sacristy up in the chapel, we may need to use that as a classroom this coming fall. There's something happening. And I would like to invite us to be a people who engage in this new possibility, in a new world, in a new place. In our experience, reaching out to be this message of Jesus in our world, this transformational presence, this call to change, this call to a new vision of who we can be. I think it's an exciting time to be part of the church. You read a lot of things talking about the church in decline. I don't know about that. Maybe some of the organizational structures change, but the message of Jesus, that message of Jesus, is one that I think we can open ourselves to and be free to proclaim. And I think that's a wonderful possibility. And so I invite all of us here at St. Paul's to live into that dream, to live into that vision, to be a people who can truly hear Jesus and live into that and engage ourselves in that, to live together into that and see Jesus as the source of meaning in our lives and commit ourselves to that. So that phrase, one of the early mistakes of the early church was turning Jesus into a religion. You don't have to agree with that statement or understand it that way. But that's what that phrase means to me. That perhaps there was a time that limited what we could hear Jesus saying. Perhaps we're entering into a new possibility. So let us go forth as a people here at St. Paul's, living ever more deeply into this wondrous transformational message of Jesus and proclaiming that and going forth, as we oftentimes say, being a transforming presence in the world, making disciples, making a difference, changing the world. Amen.